Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your presence in our lives. And thank you for gathering all of us to your holy sanctuary. We thank you for your Son and His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, being poured on us, Father. Let our worship be given to you, solely to you, solely Deo Gloria. Just give us a heart to listen to what you have to say this morning, and be jubilant about your plans and your hope. And we commit our heart in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So today is Jubilee Church's 10th anniversary. To be honest with you, I didn't know it was 10th year. But we counted, actually. We saw some... I was reading through my files, and in 2009, before we started, 2008, actually, my wife and I been praying for 21 days, and the word Jubilee came into our heart, so that when it gets started 2009, we named this church Jubilee Church. And I heard from Lindsay that kids asking, what is Jubilee? So today I'd like to share with you what is basically Jubilee and what is Jubilee vision that God entrusted to us, so that everyone would be on the same page. What is Jubilee? Would you please turn with me to Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And I think this is actually what Isaiah prophesied some 700 years before Jesus came. And people didn't know who Isaiah was referring to. Who is this guy? A lot of people thought this might be Isaiah himself. But when Jesus came, and when he began to proclaim his good news in the synagogues, he said, in Luke 14 and 19, and Jesus said, verse 21, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. So basically, Jesus claimed that Isaiah 61 is about him. The anointed one is him. So at the core of the Jubilee vision is Jesus himself. He declared the Lord's favorable year, which is basically year of Jubilee. And we take the name of Jubilee Church because Jesus is our Jubilee, basically. And if I go back, the first point is God anoints his servant. This is about the preparation of the Jubilee. God anoints his servant. As we read Isaiah 61, These verses picture a man anointed by the Holy Spirit for a set of tasks. And the person is chosen by God and empowered by Him through the Holy Spirit's anointing for a purpose. And that purpose of the anointed man is to bring good news and bring the news of deliverance of the people by proclaiming this good news. So as we see here, in verse 1, I think the key word is anoint. The Lord has anointed me. Anoint in Hebrew word is mashah. And the anointed one in Hebrew is Meshach, which is Messiah. The English word Messiah comes from this verb Meshach, which means anoint. And anointing is used for the ceremonial induction into leadership offices. All the priests and the prophets were anointed, and also a prophet, Jehu, was commissioned by Elijah to anoint Elisha as well. So anointing is setting apart a person for a special mission, and Holy Spirit is the agent of the anointing. So when Jesus came, Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit and empowered by the Holy Spirit to do His mission. His mission of Jubilee. But it's not just Jesus who was anointed by the Holy Spirit. But Jesus wanted to carry this anointing, His own anointing, upon us. In Act 1:8, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord has come upon you." He said, "You shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all in Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." So Jesus basically transferred this anointing of the Holy Spirit to the church, the disciples, and the people after disciples in that generation. So last 2,000 years is basically this, the transference of this anointing from Jesus to the disciples, and disciples to the church they planted, and so on, and we inherited this anointing of the Holy Spirit. So anointing of the Holy Spirit by God is an absolutely essential element for God's servant to be able to accomplish the task given by God. But as we see, Act 1:8, and I just read, and also 1 John 2:20, this is an important verse. Apostle John was exhorting the people, the churches in Asia Minor, and he said, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know." So I think the Apostle John was writing his epistle to the believers in Asia, and he wanted to make sure that people know that they were anointed by the Holy Spirit. So if you are a believer, if you take Jesus as your heart, as your Lord and Savior who died for your sin, you actually have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know, anointing of the Holy Spirit is not, you know, something, a very special thing. In Old Testament, it was, but when Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon all the believers. And from that moment on, the era of the Holy Spirit has begun. And Holy Spirit is the one who actually quickened your spirit so that you would have faith in Jesus Christ. So when Holy Spirit quickened you and regenerated the life that God has created in you, you are anointed by the Holy Spirit. So this identity is so important for us to embrace. You are the anointed one with small a. Jesus is the anointed one with capital A, but we are all anointed by the Holy Spirit with small a. Amen? Yeah, so that's the first thing. And second truth is the anointed servant of God proclaims Jubilee blessings. So Jesus was anointed to basically proclaim this Jubilee blessing. Look at verse 2. To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn. And before that, to bring the good news to the afflicted, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. So these are the tasks of the Anointed One. God anointed Jesus to reclaim, actually, these blessings, Jubilee blessings, to the people in his generation. So as you see here, to bring the good news to the afflicted. Afflicted are the poor, poor in spirit, and who, do not have any peace and joy in their heart because of hardships and endurance they endured. In Isaiah's time, they were captives. They were captives of Babylon. So people were afflicted. They didn't have any hope for the future because there's no more temple. There's no more hope left for them. And to those people, this Messiah is supposed to come and proclaim this good news. I think this applies in our days. You know, if you feel you're not comfortable, you're not having joy, and you don't know exactly why you are living and so on, I think this message is for you and me. So the anointed servant of God also sent to bind up the brokenhearted. Literally, bind up is bandage up a wound. And when a person is bandaging up a wound, the person must touch the wounded spot. And it pictures the caring love of Jesus Christ. And this healing can be physical as well as spiritual. It is a holistic healing. Jesus is a healer for the sick. He is also encourager for the brokenhearted. And Jesus is the divine healer. And he healed the deaf. He healed the blind. He healed the depressed. And he healed the hopeless. And above all, he also healed our sin. I think the key word here is freedom. Freedom, liberty. Have you seen the movie called Shawshank Redemption? Yeah? If you haven't, I think I recommend you to watch that. Shawshank Redemption. It's about the prisoners, right? And some of them ended up in prison with no real crime committed. Others were real offenders, perpetrators, but they gather together, they spend life together. And the biggest desire of all these prisoners, inhabitants in the movie, was to be set free someday. They actually, the one guy escaped, right? The main character who was falsely accused of a murder of his wife, he ended up escaping and then found the freedom. And later, Morgan Freeman, when he was released, they joined together in full freedom. So that's a movie about freedom. You know, freedom is not to be taken for granted. Especially when you are captives, you have to be, you have to long for this freedom. And I think, the thing that Jesus did for us is he set us free from the bondage of sin and the stress and worries and concerns of this life, so that we'll be able to enjoy the blessings God has originated. That's the original state that God made us, so that we would be completely free. Adam and Eve were completely free in the Garden of Eden, doing what they want to do, except one thing. But they violated the rule of God, and then our life turned to misery since then. But God wants to restore the original state of the purpose of His creation. And that's what Jesus came to reclaim, the blessings God intended for our life, for your life, and my life. And so at the core of Jubilee blessing is freedom. Freedom. And if you look at Leviticus 25, 10 to 12, this is another key verse about Jubilee, along with Isaiah 61, Leviticus 25, 10 to 12. You shall thus consecrate the 50th year and proclaim a release through the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his own property, and each of you shall return to his family. You shall have the 50th year as a jubilee, and you shall not sow nor reap its aftergrowth, no gathering from its untrimmed vines. For it is a jubilee, it shall be holy to you, and you shall eat its crops out of the field. So liberty is a technical term referring to the release of Hebrew slaves. And a property every 50 years in the year of Jubilee. When Israelites got into the Canaan, the land of promise, everybody was given a piece of land. But over the course of time, some people turned into slaves. And some people had to sell their property because of poverty and afflictions, whatever. So they lost their status as a free person, some of them, and some of them lost their land. But God instituted this jubilee. Every 50 year, everything will be restored as a, you know, the original point. The year of Jubilee, the slaves will return to their families. No more slavery. And the land that has been taken away will be restored back to the ownership of the original owner. And everything will be restored. That's the spirit of Jubilee. That actually, this is a desire of God to restore the people's hope. And the name Jubilee is derived from Hebrew word Jovel, somewhat become Jubilee in English, which means the joyful shout or sound of ram's horn. When I went to China, I got this ram's horn because one of the missionaries that I know, she's actually a Chinese lady, and she makes this business. There are a lot of horns available in Israel, so she take this horn from Israel and bring to China, and then making these horns and then give away to the people. Free. So this is actually blown on the day of Jubilee, on the day of atonement. So when a priest blow this horn, basically declaring the freedom for all people, so that they would go back to their original status as a free person, and then property will be given back to them. So that's an amazing day. And that's exactly what Jesus declared when he came here in a spiritual sense. You know, we're no longer slave, but we are free person in Jesus Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit. And then everything will be restored, you know, when Jesus declared this good news. You know, think about all your credit card debts are canceled. Let's make it more perspective in our context. Someone pay for it, you know, out of that person's favor. You know, I want to pay for your credit card debts. And imagine all your mortgages canceled. I know some of you have 30-year loan, which is a long time. I always recommend 15-year loan, but some people don't listen. But anyhow, someone pay. Pay for all the mortgage left. And imagine all your bad records are cleared up. Driver's license, you know, all those records. Or if you used to be a criminal, that record will go with you forever, but someone will, you know, clear off. And imagine all your bad records are cleared up, and especially for young people, student loans are canceled. Someone pay for it. Jubilee blessings are just like that in our spiritual sense. Jesus took all our debts, all our sins upon him so that you'd be declared free. You know, that's the freedom and grace that Jesus declared when he came this earth. And then that is our job to continue to declare to this world, to give the people hope and God's love. So when you go back to this text, so Jesus was reading Isaiah. Luke 4:18 is basically Isaiah's passage, right? We just read 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That me is Jesus himself, not Isaiah. And he has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. But if you go back to Isaiah passage, look at this. To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance, our God. Jesus did not actually quote the second portion, the day of vengeance of our God. He only proclaimed the favorable year of the Lord when he came 2,000 years ago. Why is that? Jesus forgot about this passage, this particular portion. And I believe when Jesus came, that was reinstituted year of Jubilee, right? That's what Jesus did. So that was around AD 30, right? Jesus, you know, public ministry was between AD 30 to 33. So sometime that period, Jesus reinstituted the year of Jubilee. But he didn't say this is the day of vengeance. You know why? Because when he came first, that wasn't day of vengeance, right? It's a day of Jubilee blessings to the people who have forgotten about God's blessings, right? But I believe when Jesus comes back again, second time, that will be our ultimate Jubilee, correct? Because we will be set free forever. But also, that day will be day of vengeance to the unbelieving world. So what Isaiah saw was, probably he saw double reference, right? When Jesus comes first time, that's favorable year of the Lord. But when Jesus comes back second time, that's a day of vengeance. So God probably showed him two, the events together. But Isaiah didn't know what it meant, but he just put it down, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And that's my interpretation. Don't take it, you know, as the scholarly interpretation or anything like that. But as I was meditating, why this one is missing when Jesus declare vengeance, it's yet to come. But let me give this thing. When year 2000 was reinstituted, year of Jubilee, AD 30, right? Now 2000 years have passed, right? Every 50 years it's supposed to happen, right? And 2000 years is an increment of 50s, right? 40 times 50 is 2000, right? So since Jesus came, AD 30, what would be next Jubilee? If Jesus declared this year of favor, Lord's favor, AD 30, and next Jubilee from our perspective would be what? 2030, right? I'm not saying that Jesus will come back 2030, but look like, if you kind of use this analogy, 2030 is around that time, plus minus, will be next Jubilee. And then next Jubilee after that will be 2080, right? So I leave it to your imagination. I wish Jesus will come back on the next Jubilee. Amen? I really long for that time. But, you know, I didn't say that he will come. You know, next Jubilee is 2030, and my desire is he come so that I can see him if I'm still alive and be raptured. Likewise, all of you who believe in Jesus. But I didn't say that is the case, but that's my wish and my hope. So we can see that if end of the world is near, we need to pay attention time around 2030, 2080, and so on. Jesus can come back, you know, another 2,000 years later. You know, I don't know. But 2030 seems to be next Jubilee. So let's move on. So third point I'd like to make this morning is God's glory is manifested in the transformed lives of those who receive Jubilee blessings. If you look at verse 3, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of spirit of fainting. So they will be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So God's glory, that's the ultimate thing of Jubilee blessing. God is glorified, God's glory is manifested in the transformed lives of those who receive Jubilee blessings. God began his creation and God will finish for his glorification at the end of the day. That's why he sent his son Jesus to us. That's why God empowered Holy Spirit upon us. That's why we are to take these blessings that God promised through Jesus into ours as a gift of God. God will grant three things. Garland. God will grant garland. What is garland? Garland is hat. And oil of gladness. Oil of gladness is basically a very expensive and precious thing. And the mantle of praise, mantle is basically garment, right? A mantle of praise. And mantle of praise is the covering. It covers us. So God's grace covers us. And all these are given by God for a joyful festival. And these blessings are available to us now. And these are the gifts from the Lord, and we should receive that. We should take that. So basically, God wanted to share His utmost blessings with His creation, especially those who would like to receive by faith these blessings, the redeemed community of God. And God wouldn't preclude anyone from entering into this community of redeemed community. That's why we are here, right? We have taken by faith what God has offered to us through Jesus Christ, His salvation and all the blessings after that. And verse 3 says, "So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified." The oaks of righteousness is basically oak tree, right? And tree symbolizes stability, permanence, and abundance. I remember in our old house, there was an old oak tree. That was probably 30 plus years old, and you know, each and every year it just continued to grow and produce so many leaves and then the fruit, right? And basically, the oak of righteousness symbolizes those blessings that God has given us, stable and permanent and abundant. And oaks of righteousness demonstrate the beauty of God Himself. I think God must be a lover of trees. We know that in Genesis, there are so many trees. Tree of life and tree of knowledge of good and evil. There are so many trees. And in Revelation, if you look at the last chapter of the Bible, God talks about trees are planted in heaven. And people can access the tree of life. They enjoy life eternal with God in the last sin. So the ultimate purpose of why God sent His Messiah to us is to restore what God intended in our life so that God see those fruit from us and He will be glorified. He'll be so glad. He'll be so jubilant. That's why Jubilee. Jubilee will continue on in the kingdom of God because it's a jubilant shout from God Himself, seeing all His creation redeemed in the face of Jesus Christ, His Son, by the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the last thing God will be pleased with, and we can enjoy that blessing even now until Jesus comes back. So, I think Isaiah 61, the passage, is also applied to us. The Messiah Jesus has done it, and He's doing these things through the ministry of the church. That's why church is so precious. We are the heir of Jesus Christ. We are the one who are entrusted to continue on with a declaration of these Jubilee blessings upon this world. So our church name was chosen to be Jubilee Church to continue on the ministry of the Jubilee vision God sets out through His Son, and to proclaim God's favor, God's grace, and freedom we have in Jesus Christ to this world. So I can think of three actions, three responses from today's the passage. The first, believe and receive the Jubilee blessings. Very simple. Take it. Take it yours. You know, these blessings is available for you without any string attached, without any conditions attached. Just confess that Jesus is my Savior, Jesus is my Messiah. I want to be blessed by God. I recognize my sin. I recognize my burdens of life. I want to give it all to Jesus so that I want to get Jesus, God's favor and God's grace, God's freedom rendered through Jesus Son of God. Just take it. You know, when someone favor you, you know, the first thing we need to do is receive that favor. Don't think about, I don't want to get that. Because of our pride, sometimes we don't want to get it. And we want to check out what that was, that's real or not. But this offering from God is real. It's not just made up. It's just God orchestrated these things to be given to us throughout all history. So, you know, if you have not received this blessing, today is the day that you can take Jesus into your blessing. Jesus is your jubilee, basically. And receive this blessing that God rendered to you and me and everyone in this room. And second response is, know that you are anointed by the Holy Spirit. You know, if you are a believer, you know, you're not just a believer, but you have this anointing upon you. Holy Spirit is the one. He may not be visible. You know, he may not be felt, but he's the one who put this faith into your hands, into your hearts. So know that you are anointed by the Holy Spirit. And your identity defines your destiny. You know, that's why this identity is always important. We're not just receive this jubilee blessing through our faith, but we are anointed by the Holy Spirit. And know that. If you believe that you are a chicken, you will act like a chicken. But if you believe you are like an eagle, you will act like an eagle. Do you believe that? There was an orphan eagle that was brought into chicken farm and raised there. And all along, this eagle believed that he is a chicken because he looked at his siblings. They look like a chicken. And there's no mirror, so he thinks that he's one of them. And he never tried to spread his wing to fly, although he can fly. But his identity was, I'm a chicken. I never be able to fly like my sibling. Why would I bother? So he never tried to spread his wing and he died as a chicken. Although he was an eagle, he can fly. He can, hover over the whole, the sky, even without, spreading his, the wings once he decided to take off. But he never did and he died. You know, we often live like a chicken because we forgot about our identity. We are small anointed of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is in you and then He empowers you and you can do, actually, Jesus said we can do even more, better things than Jesus, what Jesus did. That's what He encouraged to His disciples. And some believed it and they lived as if, actually they lived to the embrace, to emulate the life of Jesus in their lives because they know that they are anointed by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So you have the Holy Spirit in you and I have the Holy Spirit in you. That's our identity. And the third one is proclaim the goodness of Jubilee blessing to this world. So we are chosen for this special task. First, Peter 2:9, you are our chosen race, right? You are a chosen race. And what is the next one? Royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim what? You may proclaim the excellencies of Him who who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, right? So we receive this Jubilee blessing already by faith, but not just recipient of these blessings, but we are anointed by the Holy Spirit. And why God has given Holy Spirit to us? So that we will declare the Jubilee blessings to this world. So we need to reclaim the vision of Isaiah 61 and Leviticus 25. And it has been lost for many generations. And there's no record of Jewish people observe Jubilee, by the way, unfortunately. It's not mentioned in other parts of the Bible other than Leviticus and Numbers when God has given. And then Jewish people forget about it because, you know, they thought it's not going to happen. They didn't believe it. But when Jesus came 2,000 years ago, He reclaimed these blessings and restored the people who live like a slave to bondage and sin. And He set them free. And all the, even sickness, physical sickness, He's healed them all. There's no sickness that Jesus did not heal. And it is our mission to reclaim the Jubilee vision with boldness and courage and power, because we have power. You have power and I have power, Holy Spirit. Do not miss that power. It's like a dynamite. We don't know. We think that we only have a pilot light, but we have actually dynamite power in us, because this is the power of God for those who believe and emulate. So let us enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit and get to know God more and more every day, and He will empower you to proclaim this good news, this Jubilee blessings to this world. And let us ascend like the eagles, mount up into the sky and live like an eagle, because that's Jubilee vision. When we live like an eagle, God will be glorified. God looks at us, oh my goodness, you know, this guy is fulfilling my dream for him or her. That's us, Jubilee Church. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we thank You for Jubilee vision, and we reclaim this vision into reality today. Father, please forgive us if we had lived like a chicken without knowing who we are. Please forgive all of us. And from today and on, Father, let us embrace this Jubilee vision so that this vision will become reality into our lives to Your glory. Father, thank You for this identity. Thank You for this mission You have given to Jubilee Church. And if anyone has not embraced Jesus, but you would like to receive Jesus in your heart as your Lord and Savior, please follow this prayer in your heart. As I pray, you pray in your heart to receive Jesus. Lord Jesus, please forgive me. I lived without You. I lived without even knowing who I am. But today, I feel that You are speaking to me, and I'd like to receive You as my Lord and Savior who died for my sin. I will not be the same person from this day on. I'm no longer chicken, but I'm an eagle in Your grace and in Your power. Lord Jesus, thank You for dying for me. And I'd like to receive You as my Lord and Savior for the rest of my life. I want to see and I want to live like an eagle. And I want to be the person that You made for. And I regain my status today. I thank You. pray in Jesus' name. And Heavenly Father, we declare Jubilee reality into all of us, Father. And give us boldness and faith. And let us always remember our identity. We are yours, forever yours. And when you come back, you're going to declare the ultimate Jubilee into the eternity. Thank you that we are part of this Jubilee vision and Jubilee reality, Father God. And let our life be consumed for this mission to be fulfilled. First fulfilled by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And it has been entrusted to the church in many generations. And in this generation, Father, we want to be the one of the churches embraces this Jubilee vision into our reality. Father, pour out your blessings upon all of us, Father. Each child and each adult, each man and each woman. So that we'll be like the oak of righteousness before you. Father, we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.